Welcome, everyone, to The Wrestling Show. I'm Cat Manning from the Lingus Mafia Podcast. All my nonsense is at Lingus Mafia. I am joined by your number one source for all your wrestling news. That's Mr. Billy Body.
Oh, miserable this morning. So miserable.
from what? I'm miserable because it's fucking 4 a.m.
Oh, so I had to cancel a load of shit because today's the last day that we can do anything before Christmas. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's going to remain open are like gyms, hairdressers.
How are gyms open for you? I got my gym closed down on Sunday, finally.
And big hot. They open and close them and open and close them. And there was like a, they got a big campaign going where it's saying like that gym, that they need to reconsider that the wellness of gyms is more significant than the transfer of COVID. Plus, they scientifically, well, they say they have, but I don't believe any of the science in this. They say that they've come to the conclusion that it's a low transfer rate and that the gyms are being taking enough precautions basically to remain open. Mm-hmm. It basically is a lot of people just turning around and going, fuck you, you open McDonald's, yeah, but you don't. What kind of country is this? Like, that was like the whole, there was a lot of memes. It was like, this is essential, this is not.
And yeah, like, there's nonsense.
Yeah, and it's right. But like, so here's the thing.
You got to wear masks in the gym?
You have to wear masks and when you walk into the gym. But you can take it off once you start exercise.
Really? See, now that's fucking weird. And for us, we have to wear, if you're in a building here, you have to wear a mask no matter what. So everyone in the gym is wearing a mask and it's still shut down.
No, and it's even dumber. Like, so get this, so at a restaurant, mm-hmm, you're allowed to eat with a mask off, obviously, but you have to wear a mask to your table.
Yes.
You have to wear a mask to the table. So fucking stupid.
Like, yeah, but they don't know what to do almost.
So they basically, what it means, what this new lockdown means is that all entertainment venues, so cinemas, bars, clubs, restaurants, all of that are now closed again. So anything that I had planned for, any like thing like Santa's Grotto, which, I mean, Austin is not interested in that anymore, but we were doing this Christmas Temple of Coins. Like, we played this game called Temple of Coins where you you go into a room. It's like a video game in a room, and you play with your feet on the floor. Mm-hmm. Like, are you wearing a sensor helmet? And you're playing Pac-Man with a sensor helmet on the massive TV that's in front of you. So you're in a box room, and there's a big cinema screen in front of you, and you're moving the Pac-Man with your sensor.
Uh-huh.
So there's a Christmas version of that today, and it got cancelled. It's also my brother's birthday. Yeah, there was like a few just like Christmassy little shitty bits that we were going to do, like ice skating or whatever. So that got cancelled. He's self-isolating because his mum has got it. That then also like fucks us up until she reaches the period where she won't have it, which is going to be 10 days from when she took the test. So we're fucked all the way till the 23rd. Like, he's stuck in there. So there's not much else for me to do.
Jesus.
Wrestling's bad. Like, this like so bad. Like, getting through the show. And I can't believe this is a go home show. I had the Browns plus 3.5.
Oh, 3.5. Oh, and then the fucking safety. Oh my God. You know what? I had them plus 3.
I was barely watching. I was just like going, I was thinking, oh, you know, this is a crazy game where this is the only time you might see the lateral like actually get up the field.
Yeah, yeah. I thought so too for a bit.
Then I was like, okay, stop now. So stop now. Stop. Just stop now. Oh my God. I've lost my bet.
I'm screaming like Fausti goes, and they cover. And I'm like, rigged, motherfuckers. I was like, but I mean, I was fucked because I just had 3 at all. So I was like, well, I get my money back then, one of those things. But Jesus, did you do the over or the under, or didn't do it?
I thought it would go under, but I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody had like 80 points.
Well, someone tweeted us and asked what we had the line at this week. And I was right back. Sure the fuck wasn't 84. So.
The total that started the game was 3 to 3.5.
Jesus. What was the, do we have an actual total for the whole thing?
What was the game finished on?
Yeah, like what was the over under?
It was 46.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it was just one fucking side. Jesus Christ.
That's unreal. I think 46. There was a guy who he mocked on Twitter. Like, he's got a big following. I don't understand how he loses like 3 out of 4 bets. And he's one of these people that have 40,000 followers. Las Vegas Freeze is a complete joke. He tries to give reasoning for his plays.
Yeah.
And they're so stupid. It's like, oh, this team total is this and the team total is that. And this is like too short of the overall total to play the under. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? He basically analyzes things like it's wrestling. Like if I was going to analyze wrestling, I would say like, oh, well, this guy got pinned on the go home show, so he's definitely going to lose on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like fixed, right? He analyzes things like that. He analyzes things like the bookies already know the results. Like with soccer, he goes, with soccer, he's so embarrassing. Like, I mean, you just got to go and look down it. I mean, and it ends up with results in a load of L's. You'd make profits playing just all the opposite stuff. Like, we've played the opposite stuff to him over the last 6 months, and we're 19-1 going against it. It's not blind. Like, yeah. When he posts, I think it's just stupid. Here he posted the total. He went under 46. He said it doesn't get anywhere near.
Oh,
and he was using like lines and things, these team totals, and saying there'll be a lot of running, etc. They covered the over, I think, 5 minutes into the third quarter.
There's a guy on Chicago radio every Friday. He comes on, you know, there's those Vegas guys that, you know, try to get some business, and they give a couple games. Oh, I'm looking at this for college. They give about 3 college, 3 pro, whatever. And I've bet on whatever he has, like, here and there throughout this year. I have never seen anybody fucking so bad. I'm like, I'm never fucking... It was every single time, maybe he would get 1 out of that 6. And it is every college was wrong every time. I'm like... What the fuck? And they don't ever mention it when he comes on the next week. He's like, oh, had a rough week. And that's about all you'll fucking hear at best. And I'm like, the guy's fucking wrong constantly. So I'm like, well, I can't take some of these motherfuckers. I say, I'm like, you know what? Our picks are better off. Why should I stop second guessing ourselves just because it's not like, you know, a full-time living or something, the shit that we do. Even though you are practically making a living on it as one of your many projects that you do. But I mean, these guys, this is their whole entire livelihood. So you would expect them to be decent, and they're not.
Well, comparatively, I make 90% of my income from it.
Jesus.
And about 10% from wrestling.
I'm going to give you something to look up after we get off the air on the side. You gotta check this thing out. You will be shocked by it. Let's get into this show, shall we? So we have enough time to get through it. SmackDown, it's boss time, as Michael Cole would say. And oh my goodness, the outfit.
Oh. This is what I mean.
Oof.
And everyone picked up on it, yeah.
Yeah, this was something with her ass cheeks out, and they filmed her from behind a little bit, and see that all over Twitter. Oof. Contract signing, no contract in the folder, and the awful acting begins. Sasha is a pretty bad actress.
She's in Mandalorian, though, I mean.
I still haven't seen it. I haven't seen this year, at least. So no contract in the folder. She's upset. And, you know, where is the contract? And Carmella shows up on the Tron with the contract and showing her brand new titties. And she has a brand new black guy that she traded in R-Truth for.
What brand new titties?
She's got new titties.
Has she?
Yeah, yeah. These are new pair of titties. That's why she's been gone for as long as she did. That's part of it. She was out, so might as well get some new titties while she's in it.
Oh, she had big fake titties anyway.
She had fake titties, but they weren't as big as they are now.
Surgically enhanced titties.
So, okay. Let's, so she has this contract, and she says to her black guy, to her new slave, go deliver this to the ring. And Sasha says, fuck this. Let's have the match tonight. And Carmella agrees to it. They say, okay. So Sasha then beats the black guy up. and he oversells like it's the HBK and Hogan match.
What was he was called a sommelier, wasn't he?
Yeah, sommelier.
What is that?
I don't know if that's a fucking a servant. I think it might be. I don't have a fucking clue.
There's no way they'd give her a black servant.
It seems to be.
Somali A. It's Somalia, the country, which keeps coming up.
Yeah. That's right. From Somalia.
Somalia is a wine waiter.
Huh. A wine waiter. There you go. So.
The role of Somalia, creating and updating the wine list in coordination with chefs and. What the fuck? Maybe they got the. This is
this like the 25th anniversary?
Oh, this company do this shit a lot. Do you remember like when Vince used to commentate and he used to say bird's eye view? Mm-hmm. And it was like you were just sitting ringside. He used to think sitting ringside was the bird's eye view. And I remember when I was at school and I was eight or nine. And they gave us a picture and they were like, draw the bird's eye view of this picture. Like draw a bird's eye view of this from of this or whatever. Draw whatever you want. So you had a box and you had to draw it like from up above.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew throughout my young years, but even I'm talking like 10, 11 here, I knew that Vince was saying it wrong the whole time. But that it's consistent throughout. These other words they've used throughout the years. I've wanted to look up what dextricity was and androgynous, and I had to check all of that. I'm checking all the time because I know they're using the wrong words. And this, I didn't look up sommelier until just now. But yeah, apparently this is specifically a wine waiter.
That's funny. Montez versus Ziggler. Ziggler comes to the ring and he's talking shit to both the Street Profits. And he says, you're a poor man's version of Desus and Mero? What the fuck is that? Is that a cartoon or something? I don't even know what the fuck that is.
You know what? I thought that you would know. Being American straight away, I thought this was one of those things where it was like, something Americans know all about. Uh-huh. Bill Cosby, whatever, which, you know, is not a thing. He's not huge over here, but it's big in America. But I thought, something like that.
It would have to be. Maybe it's something from fucking Rugrats or some shit. I fucking don't have a clue what that was, but I was like, what? After a few moves in this, go ahead.
Ziggler says, well, anything less funny than my stand-up is you. So does that mean he's given up now? Did he realize that he wasn't funny?
I hope so. I can't imagine that this was... He actually went away. Remember, was it? How many months? He went away for a few months to fucking do that shit. Mm. Like, oh my God. I mean, what the fuck is this? After a few moves in a ring, Rude jumps in the ring, so then Dawkins jumps in. And... Rude and Ziggler then, get out for a little bit. And right before it goes to a commercial, the Street Profits start dancing around the ring and solo cups start flying into the fucking ring. And I'm like, oh, the match is over, I guess. They come back from commercial and the match is continuing. We cleaned out the solo cups.
Just doing the fucking dumbest shit in order to get to breaks. I don't know why they just don't. I mean, it's already bad enough that you know they're going to break when anyone goes out to the outside and the other guy standing in the ring, but then to add this as well. I mean, they're just fucking goofy. They are bothering a 9-year-old who is sick of them. He can't stand anything that they do. So it's just very weird that you have two teams booked so similarly with the New Day and the Street Profits, and they don't want to be accused of like racial profiling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like, we got a black team here and a black team here, and we relatively want them to act the same, be loud and dance. And it's kind of like that's what he still comes down to the fact that that's what he thinks black folk do. We still haven't done that black show. It's still on the list of to do things to do.
Yeah, that's an evergreen show, I think, because it's not like anything's ever going to stop.
Oh, you could chuck that show into like the fucking... Any time from the crime time to cut time, and it would still be the same.
Yeah. Okay, so we get, after the commercial, like I said, they're back on. Dawkins is thrown into the stairs, and it distracts Montez. He gets super kicked and fucking win by Dolph, which was very surprising, actually. Sammy is at the merch area. Go ahead.
Junkyard Dog did this, right? Junkyard Dog was the first, like, black babyface, and he did all this stuff. And I think, do you think that Vince and Bruce kind of go, oh, it's Junkyard Dog was popular, where just everybody is just going to be Junkyard Dog? It's like, oh, this is a black person.
I don't even think Junkyard Dog was that bad with the shucking and jiving. I mean, Junkyard Dog did, he barely did anything. Like, when he got on the ropes, he would dance almost. Like,
he was in WWE, did it a lot, but I think he was also, like, broken down, and he was coming there to retire after sure. he was like main, like AWA and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But I think by the time he got here, he was doing a lot of dancing and that kind of shtick. But then you have the other side. It's like gangster Bad News Brown and dancing JYD. That's it. You come in, you're black, you're getting a gang gimmick or you're getting a dancing gimmick. That's it. Like, you're gonna get A or B.
I'm trying to think who does normal shit. Lashley.
You could say Keith Lee is the alternative to the other two.
There you go.
That's just, I don't know what that is. Like the black poet and in a baby outfit. I don't know.
I don't fucking know what poet. To make of that. Greetings and salutations.
I got Keith Lee on my things to talk about later. Okay. Which is not a lot. My notes in this are pretty scarce today.
So Sammy's at the merch area and he sees Big E has a t-shirt. But they have a t-shirt for Sami Zayn, which is like drawn on a fucking shirt. I actually like this shirt. It says I am Sammy, and it's fucking like a Sharpie fucking drawing of Sammy. I thought selling that was, it's fucking funny. Are they selling that?
Mm-hmm. They are now, yeah.
Yeah, I would hope so, because I go, is stupid as it looks, like the B-team shirt, you know it's like something they're actually selling, which I thought's fucking pretty funny. Non-title, Sammy versus Big E. Sammy slaps Big E and runs from the ring, so Big E has to chase him and, like, chases him under the ring. Like, I used to have a dog that was half retarded or something because it would chase the cats. It was an Afghan, which was a fucking gangly fuck, and she would chase the cats. And the dinner table was kind of against a wall with chairs. And the cat would run under that fucking side of the fucking table. And this dog would chase the cat underneath the fucking chairs, like blowing it like a bull in a china shop, knocking the table over, knocking the chairs over, instead of going around. Sami Zayn runs under the fucking ring and Big E has to go follow this fucking asshole under the fucking ring to go get him. He gets the other side. Sammy stomps on his fucking head and gets in the ring at the 9 count and wins this fucking match.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Bayley talks about Bianca in the back. Bianca shows up and just tells her, you know, she starts counting receipts and what she's better at than Bayley. Okay. Carmella interview in the back. She snaps her fingers to get her slave to get her champagne. Review of Roman Reigns beating up everybody last week, including his own cousin. Roman watches from the back this clip, and like a beaten dog, Uso shows up and says, "We good, dog? We good?" He's like, "I'm good. Are you good?"
It's weird how he's gone full circle. Uso, like how he was fighting against him mm-hmm. and giving up to him or whatever. Now he's just. He lets himself get beaten up. There's no, like, resist. It's not like they should be booking this a little bit more like when Virgil, towards the end, where Virgil didn't want to do what DB was telling him to do. Mm-hmm. Not building towards a stand-up, because then it's you're kind of saying this is your mania match. Because if you're like trying to build towards, I think that's why they're doing it. Because if you're putting like hints there that Uso's resisting anything or he's getting fed up or you're rooting for him and they're not going to pay it off, mm-hmm. then you can't have him showing any resistance. I think that's why they've clearly put him into the subservient role, yeah. because they don't want to give you any hope spots because they don't want to pay it off.
Owens is in the ring, and he starts talking shit, of course, and Uso, let me go get him, let me go get him. So he runs in the ring, and but Owens' promos about how he has friends. He has a table, he has a chair, he has a ladder. Uso shows up, and they eventually get in a fight. Owens puts Uso through a table. Reigns shows up on stage, and Owens says, let's go. Paul is there giving him advice. He says, you're the head of the table. You call the shots. He's calling the shots right now. Don't do this. You don't need to do this. And Reigns leaves. Owens hobbles after him. Owens is in the back looking for him and gets interviewed. And Roman then jumps him, beats the shit out of him with a chair. A Roman talks at a camera, which is pretty good, and talks to his family. Owen's family, and you need to talk some sense into him. I'm putting food on your guy's table. Why? You gotta get this guy in line. This isn't good for him. He starts beating the shit out of him. I thought that was pretty good.
Let me read something here from Austin's homework that he does each week for a Raw and SmackDown. I'll just go straight to the SmackDown put. Moving on to SmackDown, we started with a contract signing with Sasha Banks and Carmella. Carmella did not show up in the ring, only on the big screen, and she had the contract in her hand with her signature already inside it. She gave the contract to her new assistant. He's not as racist as you. who went down to the ring to give Sasha the contract, which she then also
signed.
It's a
naive child's mind, okay?
Yeah. Sasha decided that she wanted to face Carmella for the title early, which I thought was really dumb, and I knew it was going to have a messed up ending. Moving on to the match, which was the main event, the messy ending came when Carmella's assistant distracted Sasha Banks, causing Sasha to explode and lose her temper, ending with her getting DQ'd after the match. Carmella attacked Sasha and hit her with a bottle. So here we go. Elsewhere on the show, Kevin Owens set out the tables, ladders and chairs and said they were his friends and they would help him beat Roman Reigns at TLC. Soon after, Jey Uso came out and attacked Owens with a chair, but Owens recovered and hit the stunner on Uso. He then called out Roman, who had not come to the ring because Paul Heyman manipulated Roman not to. I'm surprised he knew that word. Soon after, Owens went looking for Reigns. However, he was attacked by Reigns with a chair. After he stopped to give an interview, Roman then looked into and spoke to Owens' family. Out of both shows, like most weeks, SmackDown was a better show, even though Raw had the best moment of the week with Bray Wyatt turning into The Fiend. I like Roman's character because he is such a good bad guy and he always makes it so personal, which I love. I think this version of Roman Reigns is much better than the good guy Roman. Both shows still have bad things on them, such as goofy Matt Riddle on Raw and the annoying Street Profits on SmackDown. I didn't read his bit for Raw. Yeah, so he acknowledges that this Roman's doing good work, which is the point I was trying to make.
Fantastic work. Okay, Riot Squad versus Billy Kay and Natty. God, I can't fucking handle Billy Kay. The outfit is shit. I just don't like her look, all of it. She's good with the fucking, you know, here's my headshot thing. It does make me giggle when she does it. I just can't stand her fucking outfits. And they really don't know what the fuck they're doing, obviously, with either her or fucking Peyton. The Riot Squad wins. Who cares? Instagram, they show Gable training Otis. Now they're interviewing them in the back. And they don't call him Shorty G anymore, at least. So we got that. Cesaro and Shinsuke come by, make a short joke, of course. And that leads us to Gable and Otis versus Cesaro and Shinsuke. Shinsuke kicks Gable in the face. Clean win pin. That one's done. Corbin, interviewed in the back, says he's got new guys. And it's so funny because they wear hoodies with a fucking sports jacket, you know, like a fucking suit jacket over top of them. Corbin says, these are the Knights of the Lone Wolf. I actually like that name, to tell you the truth. Corbin says, Mysterio could bring his overdressed son. He must listen to the show about them wearing shit clothes.
You know what's funny? These two guys get roped into this thing where there's a lot of slavery going on in the show. There's Uso's a slave. Carmella has a slave. Corbin has two slaves. They're
equal opportunity, at least.
Once they get into something in their mind, they start loading the show up with it. And we'll talk about that on Raw because I noticed something that you didn't this week, which we'll talk about. But these two guys didn't do anything. The other guy said something racist or was perceived to be racist in the modern day where he was supporting Trump, which ain't no big deal, really. But in this current era where everybody is a social justice pussy. I almost use a different word starting with F, but I'm cleaning myself.
Gay!
Everyone's a social justice pussy. So, like, they all had to get taken off TV. They get put in with this, and he's a fucking monster on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Beating up like 6 or 7 guys. I just thought that was weird because you'd think he would be the one who was fucking booked into the ground. And he's almost in a much better position than he was in the first place because he was just in a three-man tag team. And now these two are still like paired up and they're lackeys. And he's got the beast role over. And that's another thing. We'll talk less about it when we get there because I want to say this now. How the fuck do you put Elias, who's a big guy, with a bigger guy that looks exactly the same as him?
No doesn't shit. They look like, yeah, brothers. As soon as I saw their faces, I'm like, same exact
my
guy.
My bigger, stronger brother. Yeah. But like, okay, so.
And Elias is a big fucking guy, too.
He is.
Yeah. He doesn't need help.
We'll mention that while we're talking about these guys and how they were split off. But yeah, I mean, if you want to say more, we'll do it when we get there.
Yeah, we're last thing of SmackDown here is it's Carmella versus Sasha. New entrance for Carmella. It's her behind it's a silhouette of her, and she's like behind a sheet, and the sheet drops. They need to adjust the distance of the light. I think it made her look thick, and I thought she was facing the other way when we see her in silhouette, and then it drops, and I'm like, oh, she's faced the fucking completely opposite way. Black guy distracts and pulls Sasha out of the ring. Sasha chases him around the ring. Carmella grabs her. Sasha then beats the shit out of Carmella, and I'm guessing there's a DQ from this because she just beats her and keeps beating her, so they stop the match. I don't think they ever even say. Carmella beats her down now. She gets the upper hand, and I giggle because she smashes one of the champagne bottles that's ringside on Sasha's kidneys and breaks the bottle because they can't hit you in the fucking head anymore. So how do you smash fucking glass on somebody? Because now how are you going to break bottles? You're going to hit them in the fucking back? So she smashes her in her fucking kidneys. And if you wanted to smash a champagne bottle on someone's side, it would have to be going faster than a speed of a car. It would have to be insane how the speed that you would have to do to smash a fucking bottle on somebody. She would be dead practically. So she lays on the floor and she's dead. And that's the end of SmackDown. Shall we adjourn to Raw now?
Yeah. Did you notice how far back Sasha's we've got pulled here?
Yeah, I did. It's funny because you see like that outer edge. I would love to watch the process of, I mean, is it glued? Because
gotta be. Yeah.
I mean, you're fucking yanking somebody by that fucking hair. So, I mean, that's a dangerous thing because you go, eventually this is going to get snatched off. One day it will get fucking snatched off.
Well, that's got to hurt as well. When the glue is becoming.
Yeah.
Undone from the pulling. Obviously there's a mechanism to take it off. I think oil removes the glue, but once it's being pulled apart, it's got to be painful.
This has to be, I mean, yeah, taking it off. I keep thinking, I go, so if you're yanking on this thing during a match, how the hell you get this thing off? But yeah, they're applying something, but oof, it has to be a goddamn chore. Raw, from the award-winning Thunderdome, which I giggle every time they say that kind of shit. Like, there's fucking for what? What awards were they giving out? Miz reads the Nightmare Before TLC in the ring, and the corners of the ring are dark, and then they light up when he introduces somebody in the story. Like AJ shows up, and then he introduces Morrison, who's supposed to be like Drew McIntyre, and he's dressed like Mel Gibson, of course, because that's everybody Scottish. And they act out what he's reading. Sheamus shows up. He beats everybody up. One of those things. Okay. So this will be a match later tonight. AJ.
This is a mistake long term to do this with them. Hold on. Drew didn't come out here though, did he?
No.
No, I was going to say. But it's a mistake, I think, long term to do this gimmick because he was a star at the when he won at Mania, he was just a fucking big guy. You know, like a big guy who could wrestle, and they decided to get behind him, mm-hmm. you know, like Diesel.
Yeah.
But I think as soon as you put a gimmick to it, when are you going to get fed up of seeing that fucking sword going in. Like when WWE do this to someone, or suddenly it doesn't become Cena, Austin, Rock, Hogan. It's different now. It's like he's gimmicked when all the big people didn't really need gimmicks. I know Cena had a ton of t-shirts and, mm-hmm. and shit, but very quickly when he transitioned over to being a you know, the top guy, they wanted to get him out of the wrapping and the baggy t-shirts and the chains mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. To be honest, he's one of the guys who could have pulled it off. I think there was more longevity in that. I think he got over doing that and then they changed it. Drew hasn't got over, you know, he got over for a few months, but we don't know how he really got over after Mania. Like, because yeah. there's been nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
So this character never had a chance to really get over. And now people are going to be coming back to a gimmick. I don't like it at all. I think it limits the shelf life down. Yeah, you can sell some fucking blue top and shit and boy swords and whatever, but and long term, it's not a good idea for somebody who you've got long term plans for.
I'll have an opinion on Drew at the end when we see Drew. Sheamus, we come back from a commercial and Sheamus versus AJ. Sheamus is injured. His knee gets hurt by Styles in the match, K5 style. And AJ pins him and wins. Sheamus grabs AJ through the ropes on the way out because AJ's pointing at him talking shit. So he starts pulling him back in. And it was real bad because the black guy is supposed to get in between and like stop it or hit him or choke him or something. And it looked, it just wasn't right. Like he didn't react correctly or get in there or looked soft. Like the punches were like he barely swung. So it looked really fucking bad. Sheamus is caught in the ropes upside down. And AJ beats the shit out of him with a chair. Drew never shows up because he's a selfish cunt.
What was that was about? It didn't even show him coming into the building.
Yeah, it was like, there is no, you know, you don't help me. Or there's nothing of this. So it's just, oh yeah, he's on his own. Fuck off. Go ahead.
When James turns on him, it's probably justified.
Yes, now. That'll be part of it. It'll be like, oh, you selfish fuck. Hurt Business in the back. Bullying some guy, and they pour milk over this guy who's in the back, just some fucking nerd. Meanwhile, while they're pouring all this milk all over him because he's eating bro nuts, and he says, you know what goes well with bro nuts is milk, and Lashley pours milk all over him. They pour milk on a guy wearing a fucking trash throwaway t-shirt. The milk is splashing all over fucking Lashley's fucking suit. This is some brain power. There, he's covered with fucking milk, Lashley is. And he's got to stand there like a fucking moron afterwards. Like they did something to him. He fucked himself worse than the guy. You'd rather have been the guy. So this is what's going on with the Hurt Business. Hardy's in the back with old bro over there and New Day. And Kofi has a good line calling the Hurt Business the butt hurt business. I actually like that one. I'm surprised it hasn't been thought of. Hardy says him teaming up with Riddle, they should call them the Hardy Bros. Not bad either. Six-man tag. First, I typed in 8, and then I go, huh, it's only 6, but why? There's everybody there that could have done this 8-man tag.
They've got to give you that match later.
I guess so. Yeah, they're like, all right, let's break this up. We need time filler. So it's Hardy and New Day versus Alexander, Lashley, and Shelton. Hurt Business wins. Asuka is talking in the back. I don't know why she's talking to... I wrote she's talking to Nia. She's talking to Lana. And she's in the back saying, I am proud. You are scared of Nia, but you go... And you fight Nia. I am very proud. Oh, fuck. So she goes, okay, yeah, Lana, I have to stand there and go, yes, yes, I will face her. Yes, okay. Lana versus Nia. Lana eats that fucking fat ass upside down in a position that Miro, taught her the night before as he tweeted out. He said, I taught her this fucking move. Lana wins clean middle. Nia then beats the shit out of her afterwards. Asuka gets killed in the back by Shayna. Shayna then goes to the ring and they start beating the shit out of Lana. bending her leg backwards because she's so fucking flexible. Do you see when they grab her leg to pull it back? Her other leg is forward. And like, it's like, she is so fucking flexible. And I just keep thinking of shit like, oh, fuck, I would love to do all these things. Because she, you could fold her up into a fucking pretzel and stick it in.
Oh, all right, let's talk about this.
Okay, so, yes, you have a note, so go ahead.
She's smiling, first of all, when and Lana comes into the ring. When she catches the camera, she yes. starts doing an acting frown. And then she's starting to, like, she's trying to make herself cry when Lana eventually gets into the ring, when Knight gets into the ring. So the match is
she asked the referee, are we back on? Did you see that?
No, I don't know.
She said, are we back? And then went to the ropes and did her little fucking display.
So they build her up for months, which she shouldn't even be in this position. Like the Survivor Series thing still bothers me because it's Survivor Series and that will always be the finish to that pay-per-view, which mm-hmm. is which still bugs me because she didn't, it's like she got to do it. It's just the way it was done where she was standing there and she got to win. It's like, what are you telling us? Are you telling us that we're trying to take her seriously as a wrestler? Are you telling us we're not trying to take her seriously as a wrestler? Like, she makes stupid mistakes constantly. And then she goes online and complains about or wants sympathy when she's saying, like, I know I'm not as good as the other girls. I know it takes me two or three times longer, but I'm not going to give up. I want to be the women's champion. I dream big. Mm-hmm. And she's doing this big speech where their nipples are so fucking
hard. My God. Did you... I fucking wrote on there. I don't know if you saw my comment. I actually was nice to her, but at the same time, I had to say something. I said, this is the most heartfelt, best promo I think you've ever done, even though I was distracted by the turkey being ready.
This is on Instagram, right? You know the one yeah. I'm talking about.
Yes, totally.
Like, why?
No bra. Why, fucking nipples were fucking on fire.
Was, 90% of the comments. Is it cold?
Yeah.
Is it cold?
It was
she knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody is wise to your fucking act. Nobody feels sorry for you at all. And the audience now is so small that they are on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So there is an audience that transfers over to TV, which is why this would never ever work. It also doesn't work because she's been the heel and the bitch for years. Like mm-hmm. she was the one who was just with Bobby Lashley at the start of the year. So it doesn't work on any levels. It doesn't work because she can't wrestle. And the company, I don't know why they're behind this, but then somehow it ends with them pulling her out of the match. On top of that, the only finish that they think that she can do is a finish that AJ did to beat Sheamus. And then we see it like for the third time this week. When we were talking on the other show about how SmackDown are going with the slave valets all of a sudden, and we've got loads of them all over the show, they went with a knee shot finish, and two of them came off the turnbuckle in the first hour. How can you not go through your show and look at it and go, we've done this? There was a million things that Nia Jax could have won. She could have had this match won. And then she could have done the thing that they used to do with Vader where, okay, Vader's killed a guy and now he's going up for the moonsault. Obviously, this bitch can't moonsault. She can't even get up there, right? And if she did, it would be fucking dangerous because she'd probably land on someone's face and break it
yeah.
because she's injured more people than anybody else, I think, in the history of the company. So, but there were other ways you could have done it. But instead, they go with that, which means that they lack originality. But the whole part of it that doesn't make sense is how you build to a match where you pull her out. How are we going into this not knowing what the match is when you've given this character fucking shine on TV for 2 months mm-hmm. building up to what was probably going to be them winning? But now I have no idea what they're doing. I can only think that Naomi comes onto TV here and takes this role on Sunday. But then again, do you really want Oscar stuck with the tag belts? I think the other thing you can do, which is probably most likely what they'll do, because I just cannot see them swaying from their commitment to Lana, is that you do 2-on-1 and she fucking comes hobbling out, does nothing, and goes up and hobbles up. And, oh, is that, sorry, it's not a ladder match, is it?
I don't know. They don't say. No. I think this is just a regular old match.
Okay. I mean, you had all the build up for a tables match, but they still didn't do that. You've got TLC.
No shit.
You got a bitch that's been through the table for 9 weeks and you're not doing a tables match. So I would think that she comes in during the match. She hobbles down, tries to come into the match. She tries to win it for her team and she loses. That's probably what I think. And then this carries on because she tried to fight and be brave, but then she couldn't win because she got injured. I would think that's what they most likely do as opposed to shoehorning anybody else in. Can you imagine, like, fucking Becky's got that baby out and they fucking call her in to come and watch the show on.
My God. With a gut jiggling all over the fucking place from this.
Yeah.
Elias is in the ring with Gunner. We talked a little bit about this earlier, and Truth shows up and says, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. We got this fucking nonsense. And then he's like, are you going to say something? Are you going to say, oh, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. And he stood there with his head to the side. All the jobbers show up for that 24/7 title. I giggle that I still see the fucking one of the Highlanders, whatever the fuck his name is, War Pig, whatever. Yeah, they're out there, or one of them's out there because the other one's still hurt.
I tell you what was hilarious was when somebody actually referred to them as the what did the Baron say? It wasn't 24/7 crew. But it was something along the lines of, oh, these, you know, it was 24/7 something. I can't remember what the word was that he used. But yeah, basically, these losers is what he might as well have said. But yeah, it's the first time I've heard them reference them as that.
As a group.
As a group of bums, yeah.
Gunner beats the shit out of all of them. Okay. Miz and Morrison are, and do you notice with Gunner, like the whole middle of his head is bald, I think. And he's fucking got this long hair where he has it parted as well, which is the crazy part of it when you comb it back. But Miz and Morrison in the back.
It's Corbin was doing this when he was holding on. You could see that he was starting to lose it.
Well, that whole front, I mean, I'm victim of the front as well. But the front, you can't really, unless you go short and comb it forward. But if the fucking middle, I mean, you should then be able to comb it over that. But it was, he like parted, like showed it. It's like Moses parting the Red Sea.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, Luke Harper was a bad one as well in terms of he had the big ball patch in the back. Now, like, proper ties it up. I don't know why you'd want to hold on to this look so long once, like, the gaps start appearing because it looks pretty bad, like, when it starts to reappear. I wonder what Drew's going to do because I think looking at his hair at the moment, I reckon he's got about 2-3 years before, or maybe even just two before it starts to look, you know, noticeable.
There is a wall that you hit out of nowhere. And I feel like I went there too, where it was like, you go, oh, you're getting away with it for a while. And then all of a sudden you notice really, you go, what the fuck? It's like out of fucking blue. You go, I can see through here. What the fuck is going on here? You know, and what the fuck are you going to do? You would prefer not to have any fucking problems, but in the long run, you go, listen, I'm a guy when it comes down to it. Who gives a fuck? Whatever. Shave your fucking head and you're done. Miz and Morrison in the back. Rumor has it, that Keith Lee is being sent to the performance center to learn how to toss a coin. Is this the truth? Is this why he's going to the performance center? Because he doesn't know how to fucking flip a coin?
I think Vince is fucking sending people there out of spite at this point because, I mean, it started with Rhea Ripley, and I think that was a story that I had, and I even reported it here. I speak about it on this show and then sent you the video where she mistimed her entrance. She didn't entrance stick when she's making a save for someone.
Yeah.
Vince generally wasn't a fan, and he said send this girl back to NXT. She's not fucking beating Charlotte at WrestleMania, which is what was supposed to happen. So we have that with her, but now we have a load of people where he's making examples of them, especially big guys where he doesn't think they know how to work big. And one of them's that Raw Underground.
Keith Lee,
Underground guy as well.
It's funny. Because Keith Lee, like, if you look at the shit that he can do, it is something special. Because, I mean, the motherfucker flips over the top rope. He's a fucking giant fucking person. and he's flipping over the top rope, where this is shit that always they're told, don't you ever go to the top rope ever again. What the fuck are you doing? And yelling at people for that kind of shit. Like they yelled at Big Show for going to top rope. What the fuck? Never do this. But when someone's special like that and that agile to do, that's what I think is makes them, you know, different and a draw. But him flipping the coin, I fucking laughed because it was horrible. He didn't know how to flip a coin. It hit him. He had to grab it and then put it on his hand. So it was supposed to be who's getting a match with him, I guess. So it's a handicap match. And it's Miz and Morrison versus Keith Lee. And I was like, so what was the coin toss all about? I didn't fucking... I'm like, huh? Okay. So Miz and Morrison actually win this. They double pin him, which I was very thankful for. Because when I'm watching, I go, come on. This is supposedly some, like, good tag team. And they're going to fucking lose to one person. And they're both in the ring at the same time. So at least they did that. This is the third finish of the night via a knee tackle, as you like to say.
Yeah. That's the third time. Yeah, they tackle his knee here, and he just buckles over and gets pinned. There's no way that he's going to face Drew at WrestleMania, like WrestleVotes were saying. Like that, when you sent me that match list, I was like, yeah, two of them sound right.
Yeah.
But I've known about this third one, and I just, there's no way you can get him there. Look, we're complaining about the debut at the start, and people were saying, oh, you know, but at least he's protected from being pinned because, you know, he's getting, there was DQs and non-finishes mm-hmm. in the matches. In the triple threat match, Seth Rollins got pinned instead of Keith Lee. When Orton won the triple threat match to become the number one contender, it was Rollins that had to take the pin, etc. That protection is completely gone. Like, he's able to get pinned whenever. He's been pinned loads of times, like recently. So I think they've ruined him. That's it. Like, as far as I'm concerned, he'll have to turn heel. So if he's going to get into the Drew storyline or have a match with Drew at any point, he's going to have to turn heel.
Yeah.
And maybe that would make sense as to why they're turning him to the Performance Center. If they're turning around and saying, go and work heel.
Yeah.
Go work heel for a few weeks, because there's no way. When losses start to get put onto people that they're protecting, that has to mean that something's going to be changing soon.
Bray goes to the ring and he tells jokes. And Orton shows up on a Titantron and says, let's play hide and seek. You know, he plays to the whole kiddie role, which is pretty good. I say, okay. So Bray's like, oh, golly gee, I will. I'll play with you. So he, you know, so now the rest of the evening, we're going to see little chops of Bray searching. Ricochet versus the Predator. Slap Nuts and Bane show. The Predator wins. He's my favorite out of that group, by the way, as I like to tell you, because I think he looks cool, at least, out of the fucking, all the shit that could be. If he came in by himself and was kind of like a fucking scary creature type of guy, I don't think it would be that bad. But him with these other people, you don't give a fuck as much. Bray is looking for Orton, runs into Riddle, who's still a fucking retard. Dana versus Sasha. Dana walking to the ring flexing. I can't fucking handle it. I go crazy from this. You would think she was fucking China or Arnold or something with this flexing all the time. And look at this. And she walks with her arms out and then flexes the whole time. It is just a weird thing to see. Double bicep flexing while you're walking around. And Nia shows up. DQ. My girlfriend, Mandy Rose, comes back with her Frankenstein boots and vinyl pants. God bless. This is a good-looking woman, Billy. This is my pinup girl. This is it.
Oh yeah, she's good. She is good-looking, but she needs some character development. I don't know. That's the thing. Why am I not coming out of this week wanting to bang her more than Sasha? Doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Maybe because she's fucking Sasha's little. You could toss her around.
No, that's not bad.
I mean, they're both worthy. They're both worthy, Billy.
Where's your old Lingus thing?
Which sound effect would you like?
When's my
show?
Yeah.
Oh, it's tonight. What do you mean?
Miss Lingus.
Oh, Miss Lingus is March. That's yeah, that is Miss Lingus will be every March because it's the same time as March Madness where there's voting. So you will be involved in the voting and everybody who listens to the Lingus Mafia podcast gets to vote. We've done it for, I think it's five years in a row now. We've done the tournament.
Guest voters this year, like celebrity voters, I think.
You know what? That'll be good because the way we send the list is great because there's fake ones in there. Like we have, you know, versus girl versus girl, but you don't know the real matchup. So you'll never know the end until you listen to the show to hear the actual thing, unless, you know, because if you gave it properly, you would know who made it to the end. There's no suspense.
Is like discretion assured, or can you like, will you read certain people's results up?
No, there's no, who did anyone vote for? No. It's only us three on the show that we will hear who voted for who. Otherwise, there's,
because we can get, we will get Russo to play this year.
Oh, 100%. Russo have to be a perv like the rest of us.
Interested to hear how he went with it.
Yeah, maybe we should get JR to do this because he's the king of them. He would like to. Bray looks for Orton, runs into Riddle. Like I said, who's a retard? We did the vinyl pants. Okay. Truth in the back with Huskus, and Bray shows up, and Bray's still looking for Orton. He thinks he's found Orton. He sees a rocking chair in the back, and he looks into a crate. He gets thrown into a crate, who then Orton shows up and lights this crate on fire. Fucking, this is wild shit. He tried to kill him. He tried to fucking kill somebody. Of course, Bray pops out. He is now the Fiend. He magically turns into the Fiend. And I don't even mind that there's magic. You know, we're past that this is all real, so who cares? I mean, Undertaker's been doing magic for ages, so fuck it. He pops out and chokes out fucking Orton out of the burning fucking box. Riddle versus MVP. Maybe the match is 2 minutes. I don't even know why they fucking bothered. And then we have this is apparently the main event. And I fucking laughed. It is AJ and Drew having a raise the belt ceremony.
Ha! Gay!
I mean, this is fucking... Why do you have to do this? This is just to get them out there to fight?
Too many contract signings.
I guess it was, you know, this is the next version of contract signing. So they get out there. And do you hear the dramatic music as the belt raises? It's like the lowering of the cage, but it's a little different.
Yeah, I heard that, and I don't think they knew how to respond to it, whether they were to fall over or not, whether they were to play out.
Fucking ceremony. Miz and Morrison show up, and they beat up Drew. Drew gets the upper hand for a while, but then Sommelier Extra Large helps and distracts Drew, and they just beat the shit out of Drew. He goes through a table. AJ climbs the ladder and grabs the belt and yada yada. That's it. And that's how fucking Raw goes off the air. And this is the go home show for Raw to get to TLC. Next week, are you going? I was going to go. Billy has a special treat for the show next week because I won't be on. Either he will have a celebrity doing the show with him, he will have a friend doing the show with him, or Billy just won't do the show at all because I'm not on it.
No, I'll do the show because it's TLC.
Take a pick.
there will be a show next week and it will have some.
And the only reason I'm not doing it, I will be back from vacation, but I will not have watched SmackDown and I will not have watched TLC by the time we would normally record. I will be home when like Raw is starting, so I will have seen Raw that night. But I will not have been caught up, and I can't really review shit if that's the case.
Oh, okay. So I can use the StreamYard recording thing, and then you can get the recording from there, right? So I can get
sure. You can send it to me, and I could post it. That's not a problem. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we'll have a clearer shot. Okay, so that means I can get more. It gives me more options for people that I can get on.
There you go. Yeah. It'll probably go up, I guess. Tuesday morning-ish, yeah, because I don't have to get up at fucking 4 a.m. to fucking post that with you. So that's it. Do we have anything else we want to say about this other than it is what it is at this point? Is there any, I would rather instead of discussing what the fuck we just discussed, is there any news? I hear through the grapevine, and I always contact you and say, is this true? Or somebody sent me this, they're asking, so I'm asking you. Because Billy usually gets pissed off when I send him a fucking article by somebody else. He's like, these fucking people don't know. I'm like, just asking. I don't ever look this up. I'm not like our buddy Umar, who sits online and looks up wrestling fucking stories. I get them sent to me. I haven't looked up a wrestling story in probably at least fucking 5 years. They're all sent to me. But I heard that they said that by the 7th, they need to decide if they're going to do in front of a live crowd for a Royal Rumble.
That's the same fucking source that you always use. So Twitter account. I don't know. Like, because it's not a deadline like day decision. They're still under the same. They know what's going to be happening. They know that fucking Joe Biden's inauguration comes in January, the 20th. Mm-hmm. They know that there's tightening up of COVID protocols going on, but they also know it's state by state. So they know all the places they can go to get it done. They can even be letting people into their own fucking building at this point. So the decision, the 7th of the January date, which is, let me have a look.
You know, I'm watching the Cleveland game last night. See how many fucking people are there? So why can't they? I mean, fucking Tampa, same thing. Why not fucking rent out the fucking stadium? Have it as many people as that come to football and do the Royal Rumble there. What the fuck's the issue?
The issue is only, this is what I said, this is what I was about to say. It's not circumstantial to anything that's going to change. It's that it's all going to come down to whether they can deal with the backlash that it would come with. But the thing is,
God,
NFL are a much fucking bigger organization than WWE are. But
so stupid. But yeah, it's already being done. So what the fuck? Talk about being pussies.
It's being done by AEW as well. So I think for them, it's just a case of how they go about in terms of delivering it and then releasing the tickets and where they do it and how they go about it. Because obviously with them, it's like a fucking much bigger production, and they genuinely think, and I completely disagree with them, that this Thunderdome looks good. So they don't want to have a look of, this is all inside Vince's head. If you took a straw poll of fans, you would see that we would all rather there be 2,000 or 3,000 people or however many you can do, making a real noise other than this piped in shit.
Yeah.
For them, they prefer the piped in shit because they feel like they've moved on to something which looks and sounds good. It doesn't. It's terrible. But so if they want to move over across to the fans, their decision is going to be a case of how's it going to look? How's it going to feel? Is it going to be better than Thunderdome? But you're looking at a company that are holding the Thunderdome in a much higher regard than everybody else that watches it. With this award-winning bullshit and everything, you know, they think they've done something fucking good, but they haven't. I much prefer
the NXT
show where you have everybody around the ringside and then you have Thunderdome in there as well. That combo works for me. But I suggest that you go outdoors and then do it. I also think that they could do it, that they can alter this Tropicana Field and get people into there, which I think is the most likely thing. The only stumbling block would be is what deal they have with Tropicana Field in terms of if you're allowed to have admissions or not here. But I think that there'll be some fans at the Royal Rumble. I think somehow they'll get him to decide that if they can create a better look, they can create an acceptable look with fans in there.
They gotta do all this shit by fucking April too, because baseball starts and they can't be at Tropicana Field. So I'm like, even if they kept their Thunderdome, but for the big pay-per-view, like for Rumble, Mania, do those at the fucking stadiums and have people. If you want to do that TV bullshit and have, you know, their Thunderdome shit somewhere the rest of the time, I'm even fine with that. And if they want to fucking, you know, if they're fucking so scared. But for those, the fucking big six or whatever, you know, do the fucking, the whole thing within a stadium. They could fucking rent out a the football stadium in the summertime too over there. They'll cook in the sun in fucking Tampa. But they just at least those, they got to fucking be able to do. It's so stupid that this is some rebel fucking company, right? Meanwhile, they're afraid of people that they're going to fucking say something about, oh, look, they have people there. It is not a shoulder-to-shoulder fucking packed fucking stadium. They could go, yeah, NFL fucking does it every week. So they're just, I love that they would even have to answer the fucking critic. Who fucking cares?
It's also more, it's also more about the Vince doesn't like that NFL look. He doesn't like the AEW
look. Oh, that is scattering. Oh, my God. Yeah. Better than nothing. You get a fucking couple dollars in your pocket finally, too.
So. He's a weird guy. He's fucking.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to do this whole come back with a bang thing. So.
Yeah, like everybody, it's going to be completely full at once. It's so stupid. Exactly. Then he might as well wait until next fucking January, because that's. By the end, like, I think by this time next year will be when you can do that.
Well, Nick's jumping up and down about getting himself vaccinated.
Is he sure. gonna? I thought he wasn't doing it though, because he's already fucking got the plague.
He wants to have it. He wants to. He desperately wants to have it. And
I'm not worried about it. I know you're worried about it. I go, the amount of shit that we put in our bodies that they put into fucking animals that we eat in the first place. I mean, and people, I like the there's microchips in this fucking fucking microchips. Shut the fuck up. And as my friend said, do you carry a cell phone? Then don't worry about fucking microchips. Tracking you, but I could give a fuck if they say this is fucking fine for you. I got no fucking issue with it. Whatever.
Yeah, it's more. I think it's more about. I mean, it probably doesn't bother you, but like, I don't want to fucking wind up sterile or susceptible to fucking dying to something else. I think that is the concern that
you don't have the long term side effects yet.
No, look, like this company have like massively of this whole thing from COVID has basically been manipulated by Bill Gates from the beginning in the World Health Organization. And he's also invested in this Pfizer company that are going to massively profit from the vaccine, which, 30 million orders already from the UK alone. US are going to have even more than that. Like, think of the money that they're going to make.
Isn't it free, though, for everyone?
The countries are buying the injections. The countries buy the injections from the company.
Okay, yeah, but from regular people, we don't have to pay.
No, but that's they're not after our money. I mean, they've already fucked us over enough as it is. So there will. What I'm worried about, realistically, is an active ingredient that makes us sicker for the next wave of whatever the next thing that comes out is. Because it's not going to stop at COVID now that this has happened. I think that, there'll be COVID 21 or COVID 22 or whatever, like, God. Where have a long wait, COVID 24, let's be realistic.
You imagine. Say, like,
I think that there'll be more of this throughout our lives. I think we're going to be shut down at least 3 or 4 more times for things once we die. This will become a lot more like normal. And because we've had a whole straight run of like normal life, but it hasn't been that long as people think. Like, when
I said 100 years, right?
100 virus-wise, but look, you look at 1938 was when World War II started. They're probably sitting there going, oh, there's a war, like, mm-hmm. Hopefully in 6 months this will be over, and it was like 6 years. But then, ever since then, there's been like a lot of rebuilding and stuff, but it's been pretty normal. Like, normal life has kind of picked up without us having to shelter or worry about massive wars and deaths, like some countries have. But like in US and Germany and the UK and all the established countries, that aren't fucking being bombed to shit by mostly the US anyway. It's all been like pretty straightforward. So now there's like a chink in the system, and this could be what is normal in terms of outbreaks of weird viruses. And I don't trust these vaccines to work in terms of stopping an evolving virus, because that's the main thing they said about COVID. At the start, they said, "Oh, it evolves." Like, it evolves. There's different types of COVID. There's the COVID that will kill you. There's a COVID that you won't notice. There's COVID that, there's people that respond to COVID with different health conditions or whatever. So And now all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we're putting this out. Well, who's it for? Is it the same is it the same fucking vaccination that helps an elderly person, that helps a healthy person, that helps an asthmatic person, that helps somebody like, mm-hmm. who's got Moraine's hats? Can Moraine's take it? Like, it's just fucking, for me, it just doesn't seem like consistent enough. But I'm like you in terms of, I don't want to necessarily take it. I'm not willing to take it like you are.
Yeah.
Unless something where they say you can't come into this country without it. But I'm happy for it to come out and to watch everybody else take it so I can do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't care anymore. I'm now like, at first I was like, oh, we don't fucking want this, like this protest against the fucking vaccine or whatever. But look, I'm a fucking little guy doing a fucking podcast and making some money with some gambling shit. You're like fucking the same. You go to work every day.
Yeah.
Like Nick goes to work every day. Nobody on these fucking shows or anybody, not even fucking Donald Trump, he was against it. He had 50 plus million votes. He couldn't fucking change anything. He didn't want vaccines. He didn't want shutdowns. He lost easily in the end. So there's nothing that can be done. So I just now when it just rushed through, I don't give a shit. I ain't going to take it. But like everybody else can, you know, that fucking puppet that mocks us. The real reason that guy is pissed with us is because I've spoken about being anti-mask and opening up. And his whole thing was, his Twitter name for a while was Wear Masks to Protect Us. You don't remember when he was first talking to us, that loser. He was like, his thing was Wear Masks to Protect Others.
Well, I mean, it makes no sense then why he would hate me, because I was always kind to him. So he don't like me just as much. I always feel with the vaccine thing, it's like after it's fully available to everyone, anyone could get it at any time, everything should open up because now it's on you. If you want the fucking vaccine, you could have it. So if you are, I don't want this, that's up to you if you want to catch the fucking shit. It'll be there like the flu. So it's up to you to get it.
If you want to go to the game, you go to the game. You know the risk. If you don't want to wear a mask, you don't wear a mask. You know the risk. It was on people anyway.
Well, it's the always- one with the mask thing, they force you to wear it if you're going anywhere or whatever. But then it would be, no, you don't have to wear it. It's there's something available if you decide to take it. Otherwise, it's on you.
So. I think it should have been on people anyway. Like, people could have made their own choices. Like, if they'd done it like that instead, mm-hmm. then I would have gone out to places and wore my mask and whatever, just as long as we could just get on with things. I'd have believed it more then. But the way they've kind of bullied people into believing it and the false information out there, it's like, look, just turn around and pretty much say, this, you can die from this if you're unhealthy, and it's fucking horrible to have. You are going to feel like shit if you catch this. But 99.9% of people live when they get it. That's just not being said enough. And the fact that it's not being said enough when it is a fact is the part that really bothers me, because it does seem like a big fucking scheme. But I'm really like, I'm on the fence about even getting not if I can go to Mania, I'll go, but I'm not sure. Usually at this point in time, I have my tickets done and sure. everything, and I'm like now thinking of, because I'm in the process of like buying a flat as well, so I've already factored in the amount of money I'm going to put down for that flat in terms of not having Mania factored in, like that £5,000 that I spend every year going or taking Austin as well. That's not been factored in at all. I'm now letting my mortgage broker know that my funds available by the time this process goes through is going to be the amount which doesn't include Mania.
Yeah, so, it might not be the year to do it, because it's not even going to be fucking great when they do it anyway. You know, it's not going to be the full fucking experience, so don't waste your fucking money. Let's close this out and remind people that on Monday next week, you will have the second episode of Podcast on a Poll. You could follow the updates for that at Tweets on a Poll. And go check out that feed, of course, on Podcast on a Poll. Rate, review, all that good stuff. And this episode is chocked full of fucking clips. And it's a good show. We go through pretty much all of 96 for sure, a little bit of dabbling of 95, and then right up into January of 97, which will start doing all the Raws and what's going on Nitro to air in January. So that's what's coming up. You can find like all my nonsense at Lingus Mafia on Twitter. Billy, how about you?
Yeah, lockbetting.com is where my where all my content is for sports betting. Just narrowly lost on the NFL this weekend. Not by much though, like about $50 down, whatever. But it's not a bad week, but it still counts. So we look for like bounce back this week. We usually like bounce back pretty good. We've been winning for the last 2 weeks.
I was on the plus side for sure this week.
Really?
Yeah. We'll talk about it on if people want to listen to the NFL show that'll air tonight, actually. I'll tell you what I did. But
well, my biggest play ended up being the Bills, which came through. I mean, it was looking like it was going to be a bit worse. And I had a profit going into yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that went wrong. But I also had Lamar over 64 rushing yards. So, you know what? It's like pretty much on the fence. I can't categorically say I haven't actually added up. I think we're minorly on the side of making a loss. You're talking like fucking 10, 20 bucks. But I'll have a look. But yeah, I mean, this week we've got the NFL show and we've got the picks coming out. And then the soccer as well. So normally I say to people, don't sign up for my Patreon. Don't sign up at lockbetting.com. This late into the month because you're getting half a month. Mm-hmm. But you know the English soccer players over Christmas play every 2 days.
Oh, no shit. There you go. That's where you're going to be doing a lot of gambling.
Yeah, they have six. Every team have 6 games to play from today until the end of the year. So it's like a whole month anyway with that. I mean, there is just a soccer package that you can get. But I got college basketball bot guy doing picks every day. The NBA is back, which is why WWE moved their Thunderdome. And of course, like the NFL regular season's finishing. So that's lockbetting.com. And my site is thedirtysheets.com for all of your wrestling news before it goes on to Russo's show. And then he's mentioned podcasts on a poll. If you give the reviews for that on the January show, when we do the January show, we'll be giving away like the first signed figure. So 5-star review for either podcast on a poll or the Dirty Sheets, or you can do both and get your name in twice. Get your name into the hat twice, and the name will stay in the hat for good. And this first month, actually, I've not decided. I was about to say like what I was going to put out as a figure. In fact, what I might do is start giving people a choice of a couple of things that they want. I'll email them. If you win, I'll email you and ask you what you want. But yeah, get us those reviews. I haven't had you keep tabs on it and let me know if there's a ton or not yet.
Yeah,
but I need to speak off the air.
All right. That is it. It is time for me to go to my shoot job and for Billy to go stare at his wall and beat off with butter garlic.
Descriptions are right.
Exactly. He's got a couple descriptions to write to send him. I'm Cav Manning. He's Billy Potter. We'll see you next time.